And the American students, you know, we salute them.
These student protesters are now a part of a much larger resistance front.
Yes.
They will nuclear bomb the United States of America. They don't care.
Those who would, a few years ago, back in the day, would call Palestinians to be Nasibis.
Hey, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Ali. What's going on?
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Yeah,
the weather is getting really hot here in the holy city of Qom.
No kidding, yeah.
Exams are just around the corner. If you already haven't had some exams.
Yeah, I had some more.
Oh, man.
Yet to go.
Yeah. MashaAllah, Allah help you succeed. So we kind of wanted to sit down today and talk a little bit about this very beautiful letter that Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei wrote, and he addressed these American university student protesters. His Eminence wrote the letter May 25th. And man, like, what a beautiful letter, and profound, and all these awesome themes in this letter. I'm sure, of course, you've had a chance to kind
of
run through it, analyze it.
I think it was released on the 30th, right?
Yes, it was released on the 30th of May, yeah.
Which was, what, day before yesterday or
it
something?
It was, day before, right? So it was released on Thursday.
Right.
Then we had Friday, and then today is Saturday, right?
If you remember last podcast when we discussed these protesters, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And at that time, we didn't know that this letter is coming out,
right?
So that took me as a surprise, and I was like, you know, we could have waited if we had known,
of course.
But anyways,
yeah,
you know, we refer to letter for you 1 and 2, if you remember, in that
exactly.
discussion, right?
Yeah,
which I think are still very relevant, those two letters that were released by Imam Khamenei in 2015,
huh?
Right.
So almost 10 years ago was that
exactly
the first letter for you.
9 years, yeah. So I think if you read those letters, and then you read this third letter, which just came out a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
I think you will see a very common thought process.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Which is very, very, very clear across all three letters, and that is a call and invitation towards waking up.
Waking up, exactly.
Right.
That's actually the first sentence in this letter, right? Addressed to the student protesters. He said, His Eminence is saying that he is addressing those students and those people whose conscience has awakened.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
this awakening is a very important
right?
thing.
Right. So this coming to terms with reality and you know what is going on in the world, real time as
real
we speak,
time.
Not something that transpired or happened. You know. I don't know, 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 1400 years ago. We're talking about something that is happening as we speak. So it's very fresh. It's very live.
Sheikh, don't you think that that is really something that is refreshing about Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei?
Always.
This idea that he is always up to date.
Right,
he's never, you know, they say, I guess, behind the curve or something like that.
Yeah.
He's always on the forefront. He's always pushing the
and
frontiers.
And I would argue that he is, you know, not current, he's actually telling you about the future as well,
mashallah,
right? In some cases, based on his analysis, based on his experience, based on the information he has, and based on so many trends that he has studied. I think a lot of times when I read his speeches and when I listen to his speeches, I feel that he is informing us of what is going to transpire. Based on, again, it's not something some people think, you know, it's ilm-e ghaib or, you know, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, no, we're not
right?
necessarily
I'm keeping it very tangible based on the current world order that is in place. He's saying that a new world order is on the horizon.
Right, right.
If you remember.
And,
right?
and you know, people I think that are connected to the, you know, the world of ghaib, and to the unseen world. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that people that are very spiritual, that are very holy,
right.
you know, that are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, I think that is also a part there.
Of
we're
course,
not denying
of course.
It
We're
all.
Not denying it either,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
But,
yeah.
you know, sometimes people feel that, oh, it's just, you know, something out of thin air.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
what I'm
no,
saying is, like,
all,
it's based on empirical evidence.
Yes.
It's based on proper studies. It's based on the,
the real world,
the experts and the mutakhassis who are providing the data to him, which he has access to a lot of these you know, setups. So his predictions, if you would, you know, for the lack of better word, I think they're very on the dot, and he has talked
they're
about
precise,
this
precise
He's talked about this new world order, right?
Yeah, the new world order. I mean, I kind of want to come back to the letter before we start to go, you know, out of bounds a little too much. But this idea that, you know, he has addressed these students in America on these, you know, campuses that have come out in solidarity with Palestine, right? Something that when it comes to Palestine, and we talked about this, is something that's unprecedented. Correct. We haven't seen this before. Right. These kind of, and you had pointed out, you said these were Ivy League schools. They're not just normal, you know, community college. These are, you know, well-to-do students, well-to-do.
Generally intelligent students.
Intelligent. You know, I mean, they're the cream of the crop that they want to go on and run the business and the government.
You know, this gives you hope. This gives you hope that despite all the propaganda in case of Palestine, you know, let's get closer to the topic itself.
Sure.
In case of Palestine, in terms of this conflict in Gaza and, you know, what Israel, the Zionist regime of Israel has been doing out there, you know,
and
despite all the propaganda
and
its supporters, of course, which we'll get to, inshallah.
Yeah.
You know, it's very obvious that these people living in the United States of America, or for the same argument in other places, in the
Europe
collective
and
West,
Australia and these
they
guys.
Have been barred from accessing the reality on ground.
Sure.
And generally speaking, the narrative that gets pitched to them is usually, you know, a very tailored, very
controlled media
narrative,
is
right?
The narrative that the governments want to push forward.
Exactly, which is far from reality in many cases.
Well, it's incredibly far from reality.
Now, given this situation,
lies and deceptions,
right. Given this situation, how in the world were these youth able to get a hold of reality on the ground and to a point where they're ready to risk their academic careers.
And awakens their conscience, and they find it necessary to come out and protest in solidarity is really something that is miraculous.
Like last time we said, it's a divine hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than that, you know, it doesn't make any sense for someone like me who has lived in the U.S., you know, who has actually sat down with these people, dined with these people,
It's not that easy. I grew up in the university environment, and it's really interesting because most of these people, these students, like any student, I think, they're worried about their exams and they're disconnected from reality.
Right.
Yes, in the U.S. collective West, as you said, these people are more disconnected from reality because of the social media and the regular corporate media that is there trying to control them.
Right. Even social media, you know, which is very
media.
Controlled by these corporations.
Look at the Facebook, Instagram,
the
Meta.
Yeah, they
and
play
how
with the algorithms.
Censoring.
Yeah.
Palestinian content. They're promoting Israeli content, Zionist content.
Yeah. Amongst all of this, you know, the last place you would imagine an uprising, if you would,
course,
you know, or a protest, you know, erupting at this scale, is the United States of America, and it has happened.
And it's a huge scale. If I just throw in some numbers, for example, 40 out of the 50 states of the United States of America, 40 states have protests in them, right?
Wow.
And a lot of these are not only Ivy League schools, as we said, but now there's other schools that are involved.
Right.
But meaning only 10 states of the whole United States of America don't have protests.
Is yet to join,
right?
And I wouldn't even say that they don't have protests. Yeah. They're yet to join, or maybe they're resisting in a different manner.
Yeah.
And this is, again, a very hopeful scenario that we're seeing, that the general people are rising up for other general people across the world. Look how close it is getting towards that Mahdawi, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's, you know, society, in
of
a way,
course,
at least from this dimension, right?
Yeah.
This is how it will be, that, you know, all the human beings, they would start feeling for each other, they would start caring for each other, is what we read in the ahadith and everything, right?
And you know, Sheikh, I would like to add, though, for example, that this is a precursor to that reappearance
Inshallah.
Of Imam Mahdi, this idea that, you know, humanity, because these are young guys who, as we said, young guys and girls who are going to continue on to become the leaders of their countries, right? Especially since they're in the Ivy League schools.
Right.
Inshallah, if the governmental establishment,
if they let them finish
them
their studies and
stuff, you know,
right?
Banning them for 5 years, I mean, ridiculous.
It's ruthless.
You know, but this idea that people are waking up and they're searching for justice, they're searching for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing that Agha, he says in the letter, right?
In the letter,
he points them towards the Holy Quran.
Hassan.
The very last sentence is, you know, encouraging these people to go to the source, go to the Quran yourself. And right. and I think this is something also he brought up in letter to you, right?
Exactly. See, yeah. there, like I said, there's a common theme. Mm. And if you look at Imam Khamenei's thought process, mm. back in the day too, he had invited them to go and refer to the original sources.
Yes, yes.
Meaning thereby sources. The yeah. Holy Quran.
Yeah.
And of course, the Ahadith of the Ma'asumeen and the infallible Imams, right?
Right.
So this time around too, he invited them to read the Quran, right? And they're like, you know, Rahbar is basically serving the responsibility of a Hadi,
of a guide,
right? Yeah. Of a guide who yeah. is calling people towards truth and righteousness.
Exactly.
How beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And yes. what stands out about, you know, these letters, and especially this third one, I was thinking about it, is that Rahbar is talking directly to them.
Right.
You know, and this is something he's like, you know, because you have protested, because you're yeah. resisting now, because your conscience is coming to life, it's right. starting to come to life, Rahbar feels compelled, Imam Khamenei, that he would talk to these students directly.
You know, what I think is really beautiful about this point of yours is that, you know, unfortunately, the corporate media and the controlled social media,
right.
and even controlled alternate media, right? right? The amount of control that we're talking about is right. is huge. Right. But despite the propaganda that they have done to kind of like constrain or limit Imam Khamenei to just Shias, to just Muslims, to just the Islamic Republic of Iran, to just Iranians, to just, you know, this letter of his has totally broken that paradigm.
Exactly.
Where you
exactly.
see that, you know, Imam Khamenei, he cares for all of the people of the world, you know? And it's something that is a very Islamic concept.
It's a very Shia and very Islamic concept, yeah. like I was yeah. about to say. And you know, the claim that we always had was that we are against oppression. Sure. No matter where it happens.
Yeah, no matter where
and
it
we are
happens,
in support
yeah.
of the oppressed, no matter where they are, right?
Yes, yeah.
And this letter speaks for it, you know, for this stance. This is a practical manifestation of that, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this is what Islam is all about. It is, you know, the beauty of Islam is that it is not constrained and confined to yeah. any race, to any geography, to any country, to any borders, especially the recently self-made borders by the Western powers, right? How they broke up the entire West Asia region too.
Sykes-Picot agreements. And
so none of this matters at the yeah. end of the day. And the American students, you know, we salute them.
Yes,
the American students,
them,
you know,
actually.
Alhamdulillah, those who came out in support of the Palestinians and those who are paying the price for it, they're resisting. They are the ones who are the trendsetters for the rest of the world now.
Yeah.
And this is something that our leadership has been saying,
yeah.
you know, from the time of Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
right.
Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
right.
all the way down, right?
Right, right.
We have been saying it, but now alhamdulillah, through their actions, these yeah. American students are going to teach the contemporary world what it means to be borderless.
Yeah.
This is a resistance that is borderless. This
yeah.
is a resistance of righteousness and truth.
Yeah, just adding to that, for example, another one of the themes that we find in the letter, right, is this idea how Imam Khamenei, he has said that these student protesters are now a part of a much larger resistance front.
Yes.
So it's almost like when human beings, regardless of religion or race or language, as we said, right, when they begin to stand up for this universal truth and universal justice, right, then based on that stance of theirs, Agha is saying, you know, you're included among us because right. we, and right. he wrote this in the letter, he says, right. for many, many years, we have been standing on the basis of truth and
exactly.
justice.
Exactly. Mm. If you look at the camp of resistance that is usually referred to as camp of resistance, you would see that usually that camp is geographically, it's got its own reasons, but geographically it's limited.
Propaganda wise.
It's limited to the certain region of the world.
Yeah, they
right?
say that it's only Lebanon. That
Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Syria, Yemen, Iran. So it's basically
Iran.
This region,
they're
right?
These four or five countries
right.
is what they try to portray it.
Right. Mm. Now, if you notice that and Rahbar has been talking about it for a long time now, that resistance does not mean armed resistance necessarily.
Yes.
Yes, there are places where you have to take up arms.
I mean,
you know,
when
there are armies.
About to shoot you in the head. You need to do something.
It has its own, you know, right. Examples.
You can't just, you know.
But honestly, like if you realize that this whole idea of resistance, it has gotten a new meaning in today's world, and time and age. Which, by the way, we can refer back to the time of Imams too. But I'm saying new because every time you say resistance, all one can think of is AK-47, rocket launcher.
Exactly.
You know. This is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about resistance, siding with the truth, siding with the oppressed, opposing the oppressors, exposing the oppressors, you know, targeting their plans, let it be educational plans, let it be, you know, this gender fluidity plans, you know, all of these are forms of resistance.
This is really gender fluidity extremism.
Right? So, you know, feminist movements, you know, so on and so forth, you know,
exactly.
The ultra extreme feminist movements, you know, these,
but they're extremists
these,
too,
all of these things, all of these fronts of soft war, they are meant to weaken and disintegrate human society.
And yeah, that's that's what you find, right?
So anybody who's resisting against these trends, they're part of the camp of the or the front of the resistance.
Anybody who is standing up to this disintegration of the human being on a global scale.
And
that's what's happening.
Exactly. And are looking out for the
capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. So right now, the prime example or the very blatant and brazen example of that injustice is taking place in Palestine.
Yeah.
So the front that is formed against the Palestine, the enemies
Zionists,
of the Palestinians, or
the
you know, the Zionists
regime,
and the imperialists,
supporters.
I think this is a beautiful trend that we're seeing in our lifetimes. You know, this is something unprecedented.
Well, it's a, as you know, as Agha says in the letter, he says this is a the page of history is turning.
Exactly.
This is something that is like you're saying,
and
you
you're
know,
feeling
brand
it.
New. Awesome. You're seeing something that
exactly.
is. You know, you kind of brought up this whole Israel and the Zionist regime and their supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the things that Agha writes in his letter, right, is he says that, listen, this, well, two things, and we can discuss, we should discuss both.
Mm-hmm.
One is how this onslaught upon the Palestinian people is not something that happened post October 7th.
Very
it's not
important.
Something that's been happening for only 4 or 5 months, you know.
Sorry.
Yes, the level and the carnage and the extremeness of it is totally beyond imagination, but they've been doing it, you know, the Zionists have been doing this slowly and steadily for well over 70 years.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. I think these facts are quite in the open now, I would say, when it comes to these student protesters. But still, for those who have not joined the front of resistance yet,
the international, you know, global front of resistance,
for them, I think these realities and these facts are still hidden from them.
Yeah.
And this is the job of each single one of us, whether we are a HOSA student, whether we are a university student, whether we are a college student, whether we are a parent, whether we are, you know, a child, everybody, no matter what your profession is, no matter what your gender is, it is your responsibility to deliver these facts to these justice seekers out there. There's so many of them. What we're seeing in the United States of America right now is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You know, these university protesters, they're, you know, insignificant when you compare them to all those who are ready to take this guidance and be part of that front of resistance.
It's just a matter of awakening their conscience, awakening that inner self of theirs.
Deliver these facts to them that this is not something post October the 7th. The oppressed Palestinians, they have been subjected to ruthless genocide, not the first time. Their generations have been seeing it. It's 70 plus years. They have been displaced from their own houses. They've lost their children in the process of displacement. Moms cannot find their, you know, children anymore because, you know, they just didn't know, they couldn't keep track of them while they were just expelled and they were running for life.
You know, it's to a point, for example, where one of these guys, they did an interview from him, Palestinian guy, right? And he had family, he had children. And he says, you know, most surely we're not going to survive.
Right.
We're going to end up being killed. But inshallah, you know, our children or our grandchildren might see a free Palestine. So they have
helplessness in of in itself.
Utter helplessness, right? Where the guy is saying that we're going to die, that's for sure. Because yeah. there's no way we're going to end up living this type of thing that's happening. Right. You know, the other thing that I wanted to bring in was this idea that the United States of America's hands, you know, according to Imam Khamenei, their hands are elbow deep with blood of the Palestinian people. Yeah. This is not yeah. just the Israeli, you know, regime. The America is, I don't know, you know, what kind of a attribute we want to give them. They're either the father or the mother, or, you know, or but yeah, they're the ones.
You know, this whole idea of the involvement of the oppressive, quote-unquote, superpowers of the world
sure.
in this whole genocide and this massacre, it is not a news for those who know. Mm. But there are still those yeah. who don't know about this yes. reality. Yes. If you go back to the history of Palestine and go to the reliable sources, right, even sure. people that are still alive who have actually been subjected to this oppression, they would testify for it. And even the international historians, they have written about it extensively, is that the United Kingdom, and mm. Rahbar mentions it in this letter too, that the UK was the first one mm. to actually make this happen, bring yeah, in all these immigrants.
Balfour Declaration and all that
yeah.
garbage.
Yeah. Bring in all these immigrants from mm. other places, especially from Europe, and give them a piece of land. Mm. In the heart of the Islamic lands yeah. and where, by the way, Christians, Jewish and Muslims were living.
And peacefully, by the
peacefully
way.
Peacefully living.
You
as
ask
neighbors.
These Orthodox Jews.
Exactly.
And they say that before the Zionist regime, Muslim right. Christians and Jews right. lived peacefully together right. under the rule of Muslims.
Right. Then they were taken out. The British, mm. you know, they broke down and mm. America became the new foster parent of yeah. the Zionist regime
the
of
devil
Israel.
Baby.
Right? And this is how, you know, the transition happened. Yeah, and yeah. what America has done for this ruthless, baby-killing, genocidal yeah. Zionist regime of Israel is something nobody could ever imagine. You
well,
know,
it's
the
shameless.
Amount, yeah. Right? The amount of weaponry that has yeah. been given by the United States of America to this criminal and brutal Zionist regime
yeah.
is just something which is out of this
it's
world.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
The billions in aid that
Not
they
just
receive.
That. Imam Khamenei, mm. he mentions in the letter that mm. America has mm. made it happen such that the Zionist regime of Israel
yeah.
has the nuclear arsenal now.
Yeah. Well, this is something that was always on the table, right? They have a neither confirm nor deny policy, which
that,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, but it was obvious.
You know,
when you look at IAEA requesting for
yeah.
permission to inspect their nuclear facilities, Israel is the only country, as far as I know, in this region who had
yeah,
the
sure,
audacity
yeah.
to deny it, deny yeah. that permission to the IAEA.
You had to come in and supervise.
And also the United States of America would cover it.
Yeah, well, so they're also one of the only few countries that has nuclear energy that is not part of the NPT, right? The,
yes.
the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Yeah.
Iran, interestingly, is a part of the treaty. They're a signatory to it. but awesome. Israel, apparently, the world's, you know, yeah. quote-unquote greatest democracy is nowhere to be found.
Just use your imagination, Sayyid. For
and
a
well,
second, use your imagination.
Yeah, sure,
if
yeah.
this regime, it somehow...
But they already said it, right? They already said that, one of their ministers said, they said that, just nuke these people.
He has said it.
Yeah,
but let's
yeah.
say they decide to use this nuclear arsenal and nuclear weapon.
Yeah, sure.
What are they going to end up doing? Just imagine, mm-hmm. to the entire region.
To the entire
and
world.
And essentially to the world.
Way, we said it in one of our talk shows. We said, listen, today you think that it's against the Palestinians. Tomorrow, if the United States of America doesn't toe the line, they'll nuclear bomb the United States of America.
Of
they don't care. They'll nuclear bomb China and Russia and anybody else who opposes their whole, you know, regional global domination
Precisely.
Agenda type thing.
Precisely. Yeah.
You know, one other thing that I find really interesting in the letter, right,
mm-hmm.
Is this idea that Aga, he put forth his sympathy. He says, we sympathize with you American protesters, one. And then two, he was really, sympathetic, or he was really happy about the idea that the professors And the staff of the universities have joined in to support these students. He says this is something that is very hopeful and you know, it's,
you know, we all have been students at some stage of our life. And in our case, we're still students, right?
And inshallah, we'll always be students.
Inshallah, inshallah. So, you know, just imagine if you're trying to do something or if you're interested in doing something and your teacher, your professor at the university, at the Hawza, you know, he...
It makes you really proud.
You know, encourages you to do that or joins in and goes like, you know, you should proceed. I will support you. You know, I'll provide you with the research material. I will provide you. How refreshing it is, right?
Yeah, of course.
This is exactly how these protesters, the boys and the girls, you know, they feel when their professors, their chairpersons, their university staff, you know, they come in and join them.
And some of them are being even arrested.
Yes, yes. We mentioned in the last last podcast as well that, you know, this philosophy chair person, she was a lady and she was being arrested for being supportive
of. It's almost in the hundreds now of these professors and staff that, you know, are being arrested.
Right. So I think it's very encouraging for these student protesters that their teachers are joining in, their staff members are joining in. And, you know, if you look at their demands too, they're so humane demands. You know, you know, stop the genocide, stop the bombing, stop the...
And let us know what you're divesting in, where the investment of the university is going.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really interesting. And I think the reason that... potentially one of the reasons why they came down so hard on these guys is because of this kind of stuff.
The financial
is that, well, you know, I mean, if people start finding out that these guys are heavily invested in Israel or they're heavily invested in Israeli companies, and then the, you know, the Israelis and the Israeli lobby on the other hand is heavily investing in these universities and it's like this vicious mafia cycle. System that's going on, then, you know, I mean, just like the cat's out of the bag.
I think as Imam Khamenei in one of, not this letter, but in another place, he has said that this movement that you're seeing, it's not going to go away.
No, it's not. No.
It's just going to stay there. You know, it's just something that is going to grow. Mm. Yes, for the time being, because of America being the police state and we know how it treats even its citizens.
Its own citizens,
when it
this
comes
is something
to,
important.
You know. So I think, knowing the nature of America and the militaristic approach of America, the strong arming
state,
and, you know, it may be able to contain this protest through different techniques, right? Through, I don't know.
Yeah, like, but they won't be able to stop it, is what you're saying.
But they're not going to be able to stop it.
And you know why? Because people's conscience has been awakened.
Exactly.
You can't put an awake person to sleep.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is something very promising, and I think this is a very, very good launching pad. And that's probably why Imam Khamenei has written this letter, is for us to be able to realize our responsibilities who have either contacts there or who are living there or who are, you know, working there, who are studying there. You know, if you're a student, you can go join these protesters, go join. And honestly, like, why can't it be engineers, they launch a campaign. For instance, software engineers, they say that, you know, we come out in support of the oppressed Palestinians. You know, this apartheid called the Zionist regime of Israel has to go away, right? So the engineers, if they can launch a campaign like that and they start to assemble in a peaceful manner, in a legal manner, what's
Everybody
the big deal? If the students
right
can do it, if the students can do it, they can do. Similarly, doctors, you know, similarly,
so
nurses,
you're talking about
other
outside
professions,
the student, actual professionals,
look,
come out.
Look, this, this, and this theme, I'm getting it from the Islamic Revolution in Iran when it happened. You know, the first time there were those martyrs. You remember at the Fezziya, right? And after
students,
after those martyrs, Hosea, you know,
students,
they had the Hosea students, the 40th of these and martyrs. In Tabriz and then other places and other places, right? So it was a chain reaction that the Taghut of that time, which was the Reza Shah Pahlavi, subservient to, unconditionally subservient to the United States of America. And today it is the United States of America itself.
Yeah.
It's not even about the Zionist regime anymore. Everybody knows how deeply the great state in America is invested in all this. Everybody knows.
Yeah, of course,
from
yeah,
their
yeah.
foot soldiers to their all sorts of support. Yeah, you know, even the planning, support, yeah. They're the ones who are calling the shots.
Yeah.
I've said it before too in one of my speeches or the talk show, yeah. That it is way above and beyond the Zionist regime's and its officials' pay grade.
Sure, sure.
To make these decisions.
And they wouldn't even make correct decisions anyways, you know. And
they're not
and
qualified enough.
What's really interesting is even America is not able to make correct decisions, right?
Well, yes, their calculations are wrong, but the ones making
the calculations are America.
Right. Yeah. The entire decision making at the macro level is in the hands of the United States of America, its officials, its army, you know, and its different subsidiaries.
It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a side note, and I mean, I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Right, I almost feel like they're gonna put all the blame on Netanyahu, and they're gonna say this is all his fault. We had nothing to do with it. They're gonna throw him under the bus, right?
Yeah.
Is gonna happen, and it's already starting to happen. But this idea that and we talked about it, I think, in the previous one, the one state solution type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing that Imam Khamenei has talked about in a very beautiful manner, the one state solution. One thing I also want to bring up. Regarding the letter is how Imam Khamenei has said that this resistance that the American people or the American students are now joining and are becoming a part of is a resistance that started in a place very far away from them,
mm-hmm.
meaning in this region,
right.
And it started a long time ago,
right.
And I think this is something important for people to understand, is that, listen, you might be in a completely far away land than, let's say, we are, or the Muslims are, or the Shias, or the revolutionaries. Mm-hmm. You might be in a very different land, but because of your stances upon truth and justice, which is universal, right, you are now joining a movement which was already based upon those. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to say it's not that, we're now joining with you. No, naturally, you guys have joined with us.
See, the movement.
And people need to know this.
Yeah, the divine movement for truth and justice, righteousness, it was always an ongoing phenomenon.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
If you go back to the time of prophets and imams,
you know,
the movement was there in different forms and shapes, right? There were different generations that came along and they joined that movement. They became part of that movement based on those divine principles or humane principles or, logical principles, whatever you want to call it, universal principles, right?
In this fitrah and nature of human beings.
The innate nature of human beings, right? Yeah. They joined in, right? Yes. Alhamdulillah, generations have been going on. This issue of Palestine specifically, pointing out to what Imam Khamenei said in the letter, the movement to support the Palestinian nation and to defend Al-Quds, Masjid Al-Aqsa and other sanctities in the occupied lands and a movement to oppose and dismantle the Zionist regime of Israel, it has been going on since 75 years.
Yes. Yeah, matter of fact, even before,
Imam
Khomeini, even before the Islamic Revolution, he made a clear warning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for 45 years after the Islamic Revolution and all of those years before, in different forms and shape, the fight was always there. The resistance was always, resistance against the illegal occupation was always there. Different people in different times, in different demographics, in different geographies, they... Mm-hmm. As they understood the scenario and the issue, they joined in, right?
Yeah.
And Alhamdulillah, look at this movement making its way all the way to the heart of the United States of America.
It's a huge deal, man. I mean, and it's really amazing.
So this, if it's you look really at amazing. This trajectory over the course of all these years, you would see that Alhamdulillah, the Muslims were the forefront, the main runners of it. For last 45 plus years, like you pointed out, Imam Khomeini's time, Imam Khomeini was the only one who actually sticked to this model of resistance against the Zionist regime of Israel.
And
yes, some Arab governments, some Arab countries, they tried to resist in their own way in the beginning, but then when they saw they couldn't fight the Zionist regime of Israel, they backed off.
And
Imam Khomeini never changed his stance.
I want to add in there, right? So, for example, is a point that you brought up earlier, right, in the podcast, Qom City podcast, by the way. We didn't bring up the title this time. but in the Qom City podcast, what you brought up was that this resistance is this spiritual resistance. It's not necessarily armed. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the mistakes that these Arab leaders, you know, that they did, like the president of Egypt or, you know, the president of Syria at that time, is they thought that this was just merely a military, you know, just kill as many people as you can, bulldoze, tank, resistance. And that's not what it was. Imam Khomeini said that this is a spiritual resistance. Yeah, there are times for these other kinds of resistance.
See, there are different aspects of this resistance.
But when you don't have the spiritual resistance, exactly. What I'm saying is
exactly.
The military resistance,
it's not going to bear fruits. Yeah. Yeah. And this is precisely what happened. They thought it was just a war with another country and we're just getting into... No, it was way more than that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this movement has already been going on, right? Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, being the leader of this movement, supporting Palestine, and even getting a pushback from other Muslim countries who are actually sellouts, sellouts, and they are subservient to the Western powers.
Yeah.
So once the British regime and the American regime, they decided to, you know, take up this responsibility of defending and protecting the Zionist regime. You know, the Arab countries and those dictators who are to begin with
They're puppets
planted by the
planted
by these superpowers themselves. You know, they decided to give a pushback to Imam Khomeini.
Because they're the puppets of these guys.
So this is how the movement has been going on. And after Imam Khomeini's passing away, Imam Khamenei is that very clear and open and brazen and blatant and
basar
sarahat, right, with clarity. He is the one who took charge of this issue of Palestine. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, because of his efforts, because of his basira, because of his political insight, today what we have is what we have. It is because of Imam Khamenei and the camp of resistance. Their efforts.
It's interesting because so after President Raisi, right, his passing and his martyrdom in the helicopter, one of the things that a political analyst started to say, you know, out on the, you know, news channels or whatever, is that now the Islamic Republic, because Sayyid Raisi is no longer in the picture, they're going to change their stances on Palestine. So first and foremost, right, they knew, or the whole world saw how strong Sayyid Raisi and Amir Abdullahian, the foreign minister, how hard these guys went forward in trying to find a solution to the Palestinian issue, stop the genocide, awaken Muslims, non-Muslims. They really tried very hard. Allah bless them for their efforts, you know. So with their passing and they're not being around, the first thing they said, oh, okay, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to stop supporting Palestine. And one of the things that very clearly has been said by the governmental establishment and by Imam Khamenei as well, right, is that no, our stance on Palestine will not change. It has never changed. It will never change, right, until the freedom of Palestine comes around. So just adding to, you know, your point that
this is one of those things that has never changed when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran since after revolution, especially since after revolution. This position of the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam has never changed, even for a second, right? And all the resistance that is in the region, more specifically in Palestine, if you listen to their leadership, they're thanking who? The Islamic Republic of Iran.
They're thanking
who? Imam Khamenei.
Yeah.
And they're even saying that, you know, the Arabs, the Arab governments, where are they? You know, they are asking this question to these Arab rulers that you're ruling over Muslims, you have all these resources, where is your support? Where is your help?
To be honest with you, that's our question too. Our question humbly, right? 6 months into this genocide of Palestinians who, you know what I mean? Like, and I know we don't play the sectarian card because Imam Khamenei, you know, has told us, and it's an Islamic principle. I mean, whoever plays the sectarian card, you know, he doesn't understand Islam, to be honest with you. But, you know, just kind of... not taking the sectarian issue, but still, right, these Palestinian brothers and sisters who are our own brothers and sisters, they're Arabs, first and foremost. So these Arab leaders, you guys are from the same, I don't know, ethnic background. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have some sort of,
courtesy,
honor, nobility, yeah, to protect the people from your own ethnic background,
right.
For example, like when we hear about a Pakistani, you know, who's been hurt or in pain, our heart really suffers. These are fellow countrymen.
Right.
Arabs, they don't care. Muslims, right? So the Arab leaders are quote-unquote Muslims. The Palestinians are Muslims. They don't care. The Arab leaders, for the most part, they're Sunni Muslims. The Palestinians, Sunni Muslims, they don't care.
Right?
I mean, and if you take everything away,
as a human being.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a human being day in, day out, and these Arab leaders don't care. And what's really, on one side, I think is humiliating and shameful and disgraceful for these Arab leaders, and on the other side is so honorable for who? These Latin American countries' mm-hmm. leaders who are poor countries.
Right.
These Arab leaders are filthy rich, you know,
right.
Sheikh?
Right.
Filthy
right.
rich.
Right.
And these Latin American countries are the exact opposite. They're these barefooted, poor, downtrodden. They don't have anything. Because they've been looted by Western powers, a story for another Qom City podcast.
Yeah.
You know, proud of them for standing up for the Palestinians, and shame on these Arab leaders for totally, you know, isolating and not caring.
I concur. And this is very unfortunate, you know, for the entire Muslim Ummah and all the freedom-seeking people around the world that such people, such corrupt rulers, they are in power today. Their decision-making is something that is against humanity.
Yes.
You know, it is unfortunate, it is very painful. And this, inshallah, with the new world order taking shape, this is going to change.
Yeah. You know? Sheikh, I want to kind of, because we're probably going towards 40 minutes plus, always trying to keep the energy level high on the Qom City podcast, mashallah. But it's a beautiful discussion, and I think that, it happens, right? You have these nice discussions back and forth, and, you know, anyways, wal asr, as the Holy Quran says. And speaking about the Holy Quran, I kind of want to add 2 points before we end. One is, right, this verse of the Holy Quran that Imam Khamenei brings up in the letter, right, to these American student protesters, where he says that one of the verses of the Holy Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, do not oppress and do not be oppressed. I mean, what a beautiful statement to put out there, where every single human being, Sheikh, will agree to this.
Will agree.
Do not oppress.
And this is beautiful verse of the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
And Imam Khamenei, in this letter, he has mentioned it. And this is kind of that program that barname, as we call it, for the humanity at large to follow.
Yes.
Right. And this is what Islam has in store for you to take advantage of. These golden principles, right?
Golden principles,
These are those principles that if you follow them in your life, and if your family follows them, if your society follows them, if the whole world follows them, we wouldn't be seeing what we are seeing today.
I mean, it'd be a much better place, the whole world.
Everything, if you notice, like the United States of America, the head of the snake, you know, the United Kingdom, you know, the France, Germany, all of this,
all these studios,
Taghuti powers, right?
Yeah, Taghuti powers.
They would agree that do not let anyone oppress you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to them going out and oppressing others,
but they're at the forefront.
They say ends justify the means.
Yeah.
They're the trendsetters, rather.
And that's something we're going to have to talk about one time.
The duplicity of the West,
the
as Rahbar mentioned.
The principles that they have are fraud.
Right, right. The problem is with their mabani, right? Their foundations.
Yeah.
And this is what you're pointing out. The fundamental principles, you know, that they operate
foundational
on.
Foundational principles, if
they
you
are
will.
Different from what Islam has prescribed for humanity.
And really what humanity needs. You know?
And this is where the felicity is, you know, for these student protesters too out there, you know, inshallah, that I hope that the Muballighin and other mu'mineen and Muslimin, they can reach out to these student protesters.
Yeah, support
and,
them.
You know, not
give
just support
courage.
Them, you know, provide them with, you know, Quran, provide
of course,
them with,
that's a huge
you
thing.
Know, there's so many things that these protesters would actually get. Can benefit from, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, all those people who are so keen about doing da'wah, right? Come into the arena, go join these movements, go meet these students, you know, unless you're already doing that, alhamdulillah. But if you're not, you know,
sure,
pick up your game. you know, at least,
Quran thing
at least
is
deliver
incredible.
Quran to them, you know.
I mean, give them
with
a note
translation.
To come to your community center.
Right, exactly.
Invite them to a program.
Open up your
now
doors.
Now it's summertime.
Exactly.
This is another thing, right?
Right.
A lot of these students, at summertime, they go back home, you know.
Right.
So take the time out. They don't have classes.
Right.
Bring them to the center.
Exactly.
Give them a Quran. Talk to them. Give them this letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Allah
this letter Allah enough Allah. In itself.
Right?
You know?
Give them this letter to this. If you do nothing else, yeah. right? Because sometimes, unfortunately, you know, for whatever reasons, people are scared, they get nervous, you know, police,
right.
you know, even though, listen, there's freedom of speech, there's freedom of protest, you know, I mean, just don't be afraid, right? Take this letter, if nothing else,
yeah.
even if you are afraid, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Take this letter and just go hand it out to these students that are out there.
Especially
and
those
Allah
who haven't joined
will do
it yet.
A huge, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, a responsibility of each single one of us who has
yeah.
this opportunity to come and serve. You know, I remember back in 2015 when the first two letters came out,
yeah.
there were some ulama and there
yeah.
were some students, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen,
yeah.
they made plans, they made some websites, they
yeah.
printed those letters, they went out, not just electronically, you know,
yeah.
they handed out the hard copies of this letter to different campuses,
yeah.
right?
I'm pretty sure Islamic Post did some good work on this too.
Alhamdulillah, Islamic
Post.
I remember,
had,
yeah,
at
yeah.
that time,
yes.
2015, you guys did do
yes.
a letter for you.
Yes.
Allah bless
so,
you guys.
You know, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you know, there are some of those who realize their responsibilities, but then the heavy majority is yet to realize that responsibility.
Yeah.
You go back home, you know, during the summer after
sure,
the exams,
sure.
you know. It's not just to go and meet your parents
yeah,
and your
or
friends
tour,
or your community or to work
see.
Or yeah, exactly. You know, your responsibility is much bigger than that. Do all of those things, you know. I don't mind chilling out either. The idea is that you put your responsibility, inshallah, above all of these things, right? The responsibility of delivering this amana
exactly.
of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, his words to these people
yeah.
whose conscience is awake today.
And they're searching right now.
They are looking for truth.
They're
they are
searching.
Looking for guidance. You know, provide them with Khamenei.ir, you know,
yeah,
provide
yeah,
them
yeah.
with all these websites out there, you know, Islamic Post website, you know, promote the work.
Yeah. yeah
there's
the work.
There's so much that can
there's
be done,
so much
right?
that can be done, man. It just needs to be done. That's
exactly.
what the brothers and sisters need
exactly.
to realize, that
exactly.
it needs to be done. You know,
yeah.
and I'm sure, you know, you don't have a problem with chilling. I guess I don't have a problem with chilling, but you know what really bothers me, and I'm pretty sure it's a motivation for you as well, you know, from the amount of time that I've known you, Alhamdulillah. When you see the amount of chaos in the world, when you see the amount of destruction and death, when you see these Palestinian, you know, men, women, and children buried alive under rubble, their heads being cut off, you know. And not just Palestine. That Palestine is the foremost issue of humanity, you know. But before this genocide, right? The amount of the whole Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and 99%. When you see all of this going on in the world, right? It really, you feel kind of ashamed to be chilling,
yeah.
you know. And that
yeah.
feeling of, listen, I could be chilling, I could
right.
be watching a basketball game,
right.
I could be watching the NBA Finals or the
right.
Super Bowl or something,
right.
you know, but no, I have a duty to my fellow human being
right.
to stand up and to do something. And you know, it doesn't...
Yeah, of course. I mean, chilling at the cost of not fulfilling your responsibility
yeah,
was never the idea.
It's very
yeah.
shameful. And you'll end up turning into these Arab leaders, I'm sorry to say. You know what I mean? Because they're chilling. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they got
yeah.
billions of dollars.
No, of course. Of course, there's limits to everything. But, you know, again, like you said, you know,
yeah.
sometimes we forget that we are living in the middle of
yeah.
this...
turning page in,
very,
in history.
Very open genocide that is going
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. That
36,
yeah.
37, I even
yeah,
lost
yeah.
count, 37,000,
so
I think,
sad.
Palestinians.
You become numb eventually.
So, you know, yes, it's difficult to be happy. And
yeah.
You're right about it. But at the end of the day, inshallah, we fulfill our responsibility.
We fulfill our responsibility.
And we
ask
in the zuhur of Imam Zaman alayhi
salam,
you know, inshallah, to kind of provide that perfect and utopian world,
inshallah,
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the world for.
Inshallah. And we put our 2 cents in, 2 cents worth in it, because, you know, at the end of the day, it will happen, it will occur.
Yeah. And
but our role, you know, at the end of the day, we have to answer to ourselves.
Of course.
And then we have to answer to God.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's very important.
Yeah.
I just want to end with one statement. We don't have to, because it's really hot, by the way, you know, and we still have tests. So don't forget that.
Right.
Qom City Podcast is awesome, excuse me. But that is how Imam Khamenei has very beautifully said that this resistance is only going to grow. Mm-hmm. It is only going to get stronger. You know, and I mean, join the resistance front, right?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
be on the losing side, for
yeah,
God's sake?
Yeah, yeah. Now, today, I think, if you notice, like those who would, a few years ago, back in the day, would call Palestinians to be Nasibis, and hence we should not support these Palestinians, and they took away all the possible support from the Palestinians. Today, even those
joining.
People are joining in. You know, alhamdulillah,
yeah.
you know, we're happy.
All right,
you know, inshallah.
Better late than never.
Yeah, Allah
brothers
give them,
and sisters.
Give them the tawfiq and inshallah the blessing to be on the right side of the history, as Imam Khamenei says.
He told these students.
The
that
student protesters. So, you know, people who stayed quiet, you know, against the oppression of the United States of America, the Zionist regime of Israel, you know, sometimes they did propaganda, you know, against the Palestinians, and sometimes they misrepresented Wilayat al-Faqih and all that.
Yeah,
Alhamdulillah,
yeah.
you know, Allah is giving them, apparently, seemingly, and we'll see how it goes, but Allah is giving them the tawfiq to join in the camp of the oppressed and the resistance camp and speak up for the oppressed,
inshallah.
You know, and speak up against the oppressors, more importantly, because
this
is another model, you know. Oh,
which
we want to talk about.
No,
but we were going to talk about the oppressed.
Yeah.
But we're never going to name the oppressor. We're not going to call out the oppressor, you know. Hopefully, inshallah, they're not
inshallah.
One of those.
And the resistance is just going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
Allah bless these student protesters. Allah bless the Muslims. Protect the Muslims.
Allah
bless Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Give him long life. Give him health. Because honestly, he is one of the most, if not the best, personality that humanity has in the present day. Please, you know, remember all of us in your dua, Sheikh. And
inshallah.
I think
likewise,
that's a wrap.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Jazakallah.
Looking forward to the next Qom City podcast.
Inshallah. Hopefully.
Inshallah.
Soon.
Okay. Okay, yeah, guys. That's it.
Thank you.
Jazakallah. Jazakallah for your effort. Time to go home.